Hilariously Melbourne. For Spotlight, helping you create, decorate and celebrate with bargains galore this Christmas. Make Christmas yours with Spotlight.
Big Brother VIP, it returns Monday night at 7:30 on 7 and 7 Plus. Now, there's been some big coups for this series of Big Brother VIP, including Meghan Markle's brother, Thomas Markle Jr. And we played this audio a week ago because this was such a powerful moment. And to consider that this family, the Markles, were put thrust into the spotlight. Let's relive this moment from Thomas when he was writing a letter to his sister.
When your relationship with Harry became known to the world, my life then became public. I, along with everyone in our family, became public figures overnight. No more privacy. And let me tell you that it was very, very stressful to have to deal with all alone with no help at all. I wish I could turn back the clock and do it all over, knowing what I know now.
Such a powerful moment. And we're joined by Thomas Markle Jr., all the way from Mexico. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
We're great, Thomas. And just hearing that again, it does get me, because I feel like what you said was so powerful. And I actually loved the bit where you said, if I could do it all again, because the truth is, your family just became, you know, you had paps outside, journalists calling you, and you weren't given the media training to deal with a situation like that. And I so wish that you could all sit in a room together and say what you just said. We've made mistakes. Can we just bury the hatchet and move on?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, just listening to that right now that you just played, I mean, it, I just shed a tear and I had to grab a tissue and I thought about going into the Hallmark, you know, card business, maybe, you know, but it's true though. I mean, you know, Big Brother really bought a lot to me, as much as I feel as though I bought in a Big Brother. It was an amazing experience. And, you know, at some point in your life, no matter what happened in the past, you have to move on, because tomorrow's a new day and you can't do anything about yesterday. But, you know, it's just unfortunate we do have to live our lives in the media like that somehow. Or like that, but you never know. Small miracles happen.
They do. Very true, Thomas. So you haven't spoke to Meghan since that letter? Do you reckon she would have read it or heard about it?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind she's definitely heard about it. So, you know, like, I've done my job as far as that goes, and I think with everything still going on and still surfacing in the media, you know, I've done my job. And if she responds, you know, more power to her, and it'd be great for all of us to just get together, you know, for a holiday and just have a reunion and just move on with our lives and just be happy and just make amends. But like I said, I've done my job.
Now, I'm a Big Brother fan, so I've been watching Big Brother VIP. And early on, man, you were just sitting back, you were quiet, and then you really come into your own and everyone sort of accepted you in there and you become one of the really good housemates. But someone else that was in there for a short time, another American, Caitlyn Jenner. Now, did you know her before she got in the house, and how did you feel that she went in there? Because I thought she was amazing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, getting to know Caitlyn, I didn't know her prior to that at all. I knew of her. I mean, she was on my Wheaties box as a child growing up, you know, as Bruce Jenner. And then, but to actually sit down and meet her and talk to her and get to know her story and find out, I mean, I have a ton of respect for her. Pretty incredible person.
Are you still in touch with anyone from the Big Brother house, Thomas, like Caitlyn?
I feel touched. I had a connection with everybody on the show. I mean, I made some amazing friends that, I mean, we still talk continuously. I mean, you know, Josh Carroll made an impression on me, although he did mess up my supermodel career because he would never wear a shirt on the show.
Yeah, I know, mate. He's got to put his abs away.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man, I'm not going to get discovered if you keep doing that.
Hey, a big celeb is about to do an interview with Oprah in Britney Spears. Now, you obviously had your sister do one along with her husband, the Prince. Now,
Duke.
Is he a Duke, is he?
Yeah,
a Duke.
Now he is.
He's a Duke, whatever it is. He, any advice for Britney with Oprah? Because you were pretty harsh on those two having an interview with Oprah.
with Britney Spears.
Yeah,
is that you're talking about? Britney
yeah,
Spears?
She's going to do a sit down with Oprah. Tell her.
Oh God, Oprah, take it easy on her. That girl deserves some respect. Also, I mean, free Britney finally came through, and she came into her own again, and she's her own person. Thank you know, I'm happy for her. I love Britney Spears. She's great.
Yeah, I think everybody does.
Yeah, we all do.
Thomas, you're in Mexico. We know your dad lives in Mexico. Are you there with him? And how is he? I really feel for your dad and everything he's had to go through.
No, dad's hanging in there really well. I live about four doors down from him. Got a little place on the beach here because it's nice to pop down here and regroup and just relax. And but he's doing well. Just you know, even with the you know things coming out in the media continuously about more lies. I mean, it's just vindicating him more. So he's doing well. He's happy.
What are some of the lies, Thomas?
Oh, just you know about the letter and what you said in court and things in her book, Finding Freedom. So, you know, it's just unfortunate. I mean, a big part of what I did on Big Brother was want to show the world who I am, and I wanted to just at least try to get it through her head to open up lines of communication with my father. You know, he deserves that because if it wasn't for him, she wouldn't be where she's at right now.
And that's look at Thomas. It's so strange saying this to you because we've only just met. But I feel that the whole world has seen this play out, and it is essentially a family in crisis. And I really appreciate what you said on the show on Big Brother when you said I've made mistakes, and if I had my time over, I wouldn't do it again. And I feel there's two sides to every story, and I think from your side, you've said that we'd all love to see Megan do it. We'd love to see you get this family back together. So, you know, we wish you well. We hope you get that reconciliation and it all gets put behind you and you can all move forward.
Yeah, well, that would be incredible. I mean, you know, I planted the seed, so if I get it to grow a little bit, you know, that'd be incredible. That'd be awesome. Those were my intentions, and I'm glad I got to do that.
Well, Thomas,
well done, buddy.
Good luck, and thanks for joining us. And Big Brother VIP, you can catch it Monday night, 7:30 on 7 and 7 Plus.
101.9 The Fox.
How's this? I'm going to share something with you that will probably blow your mind because you wouldn't think this can happen. Families are interesting, though, and they're often complex. And
we just spoke to Thomas Markle.
We certainly did, and that's quite apt that on the back of speaking to Thomas Markle, we're talking about this. A bride-to-be has revealed that she's devastated at the moment. She's marrying a man she met 2 years ago, madly in love, but her mum has said she won't come to the wedding. She just can't come to the wedding.
Why?
And, well, she tried to get to the bottom of it, and her mum confessed, I'm madly in love with your fiancé.
Oh, wow.
Keep it in the family?
Keeping it in the family. It's funny you went there because that's where we're heading, 131060. This is, you know, we often talk about salacious family secrets on this show. We hear from people who have very complicated family scenarios where, you know, my dad is also my uncle now because he married my mum's sister. Oh. You know, but you know what? And you cannot
start again. There's 7 billion people. Just have a crack at someone else.
That relationship's done, though.
Well, that prop. Yeah. Well, like once you're in love, once your mum says, I love your fiance,
you can't go anywhere.
Yeah, it's funny. And I agree with you, Nick. I do think, and I would often say this too, any time I have a friend who confides in me, they've got a sticky situation where they've got a crush on somebody too close. You just got to walk away. Mm. And then, but see, some people would argue, but love is love and you cannot stop that. If you're madly in love with somebody, you know, do you deny yourself that even though it's going to cause family friction?
Don't be selfish.
Yes, you're right. Oh, there's, I was going to say, there's love stories.
What's she look like?
Have you seen the movie?
Is she hot?
Have you seen the movie Bridges of Madison County?
No.
Oh, it's one of the best. Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep again.
I was just doing a Meryl Streep movie marathon last weekend. I can't believe I didn't get to it.
It's a beautiful story where Meryl Streep, she falls in love with a man. I think it's Clint Eastwood. It's Clint Eastwood. And she falls in love with him. But she knows it'll upset her family because she'll have to, the kids, she's got kids and she doesn't want to leave it.
When you're that age. Who cares?
No, in the she falls in love when she's quite young. She's got small kids, but it's one of those you watch the movie and you go,
"Is that the one where he has
denied,
a bath?
Yeah,
like
they have a
wooden bath. Oh.
You do know it?
No, I know. I've seen that. Awful."
But at the end of the movie, you go, she denied herself love for her family. And it is such a wonderful gesture, isn't it? But sometimes people don't deny themselves.
No,
and they go and really mess
else.
Up the family
it's your
structure.
Life, man.
Sleeping with family.
Wow.
Auntie Shaz, what are you doing here?
My partner slept with my auntie.
Oh, wow. I don't remember that opener.
Yeah, I remember that. That's a great jingle.
Dear. I was going to say keeping it in the family. But we've already got 131060. Share some stories you know of or maybe you're involved in. Monique in Dandenong. Hi, Mon.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're really well and we love this. You've got on quick. What's going on in your family?
Okay, so this is going back about, God, over 20 years ago because I'm only 22. But my uncle and previous auntie were engaged, everything. My nan paid for the whole engagement party. About a week after that, she left my uncle for his dad and ran off with his dad, and they're together. And they're married now, and it's so crazy, but no one actually knows besides my dad that my uncle and auntie still meet up.
He's burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
Well so done. Think about that. Sorry, I have to make analogies. So, Fev.
Yes.
Back when you and Alex got engaged, imagine finding out a week later she'd run off with Ange. That's what happened.
Yeah, but then Ange is still with... But I'm still with her as well.
Yes, that's... behind you. Ange is back.
So she's winning.
I apologise.
Ange is a good-looking rooster.
To Al, if she's listening, I don't know whether that was a great analogy to use.
It was a great analogy.
But it blows my mind. Oh, Monique, thank you.
Another crazy secret that no one knows except my mum and my old auntie, my step-nana now.
We'll keep it quiet.
One of her kids is actually my uncle's, and my granddad is under the impression that it's his.
Monique, there is so much going on. Like, I'm not somebody who creates or produces TV shows, but there's a documentary in your family.
Forget that. Can I come to your Christmas? Sit back and have a few cans.
101.9 The Fox.
Did you know it's nearly 6 weeks till Christmas? We're getting into the spirit of all things Christmas. And how good is this? One of our favourite shows, Lego Masters, is back this Sunday and the following Sunday. It's a Christmas special hosted by our wonderful friend, Hamish Blake, who joins us now. Haim, hi.
Merry Bricksmas, everybody. How are you? It's actually a Bricksmas special, Faith, because... I am in the crowd that does not like to see Christmas decorations appear in November, so we changed it to Bricksmas, which is a brand new holiday that we invented ourselves in the Lego family, which does share a lot of DNA with Christmas, I'll be honest, under close examination.
It certainly does, and Brickman would be very happy with that too. And now, Haim, this has, and I want to know how this works, because you've got big names. You've got Scott Cam, you've got another mate of ours, Sophie Monk.
Whipper.
Our good friend Whipper. So what's happening? Are they competing on their own? Are they teaming up?
No one wants to see that. So, I mean, it's a hard skill building Lego. So what we thought would be a fun thing to do was we take these celebs. I'm pretty sure this is in the promo. We take these celebs. Otherwise, I'm really giving away a big surprise here. You take people, they come in, they don't know what's going on, and then they get teamed with a past Lego Master.
Yeah, that's in the promo.
That's it. Okay, thanks. Yeah. Thank you, Seth. appreciate that, man. So that's the build. So really, it is quite amazing, though, what the teams come up with. I was personally blown away with what I thought pretty amateur builders were able to create on the show in the hands of a Lego Master.
Now, I follow Whipper on Instagram. I see he's pretty handy around the house with his kids with their horses on their T-shirts. He builds a lot of stuff.
Birdhouse. That was impressive.
He's all about brands, Whipper.
Putting a horse... Oh, sorry, you mean the polo, the kids with the Ralph Lauren.
Yeah, the Ralph Lauren.
Like, ironing a horse onto a T-shirt does not make you that handy.
No. He's just all about the fashion and the nice logos. Now, but my man I want to watch is Scotty Cam. Now, he's the tradie. He is the man you want to build something. I just want him to be really crap at Lego.
Well, look, I mean, I think he tried to take the same principles of, you know, building a house and apply them to Lego, which wasn't a bad strategy, to be honest. In the end, like,
how many smokos did he have?
Yeah, tiny little smokos. He's just had all the little Lego minifigures set up out the back, just listening, listening to the Makita radio. Couldn't get him on site. It was a Saturday, and it was raining. No chance.
What about Soph? How's Soph Monk go?
Look, I've got to say, everybody on the show absolutely performed much better than I thought they were going to go. Soph really got into it. I mean, I suppose that's the, you know, when was the last time you sat down for 10 or 12 hours and you really were just building Lego? So, I mean, Soph really had a solid crack. I mean, she's teamed up with Henry, who won season one.
Long time ago.
So, yeah, so straight away. So I think Soph kind of thought she had it in the bag before she even began. In fact, I think the first words out of her mouth, "I sucked in, I got the best one." So she's very competitive right from the get-go, which is the spirit of Brixmas for our friendly competition.
Hey, Mish, I've got very shaky hands. I've got a copper imbalance. I've got shaky hands and I'm impatient. Are you ever going to do a Duplo Masters so I can get on board?
Yeah. You guys have got 10 minutes. Build the duck from the front of the box.
It is
funny, Nico, that you mentioned impatience, guys, because that's what I reckon Whipper battled the most. I've known Whipper, like Whipper and I have been best mates since we were teenagers, really. So I've known him for a long time and I know who he is. He's not great at attention to detail and he's not great at focus. And it's a long time building Lego. Some of the junk that Whipper comes up to distract himself and to avoid doing any work, I'm pretty sure on this Sunday night in the first episode of Brixmas, because there's two, one of the main themes that he thinks is worth spending his time on is challenging that we've never seen Brickman's credentials, and he doesn't believe who Brickman is, who he says he is. And I'm like, Whip, this isn't the show. Yeah. This is not the mole. Like, we haven't brought you on here because there's a trick. Just do some Lego.
This is not time for conspiracies.
He's trying to bring people down. He's got Celebrity Apprentice in his head. He's trying to bring the celebs down.
I think that's a different show, mate. I think that's what he thought.
Now, Haim, big year for you. You're flying. You've moved to Sydney. You bloody own half of Sydney now. But your team, the D's, mate, are you over that yet? How many times have you run Maxi Gorn? Have you touched
the cup? Not over it. In fact, even any Demon supporter, I mean, I'm sure Demon supporters listening, but anyone, all my mates are Demon supporters. You know, you might not speak to someone for like 3 weeks, and then someone just sends you a message going, "Can you believe the Melbourne Demons won the AFL Grand Final? That's the biggest game you can win. That's the one they all want to win. And we, the Melbourne Demons, won it."
Have you touched the cup yet? Have you seen it? Because everyone in Melbourne's seen it.
Yeah, I know. I'm definitely last in line for that. I haven't been back to Melbourne yet, but I am able to get me back just before Chrissy. So I am currently negotiating with Max and the rest of the club to go, just give us, I've got to get it. I know I'm not number one priority. I obviously think, you know, Neil Danaher should have touched it before me, and that's good.
Put the kids in it, have a drink out of it.
I am keen. I can't wait to hold it aloft.
It is still an amazing fairy tale. Melbourne won the grand final.
It's just the text message never gets old. It will just send in the middle of the night. The Melbourne Football Club, the Demons, won the grand final.
And nearly as big a coup for Channel 9 to be putting on Lego Masters Brickmas.
What a year, 2021.
This Sunday, don't miss it, 7 p.m. and the following Sunday, 7 p.m. Channel 9. Haim, thanks for coming on the show again. Merry Brickmas to you.
Miss Merry Brixmas to one and all.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Now, I found another hobby. And when I say hobby...
What do you mean another one? what sort of hobbies do you have?
Well, you know I don't have many. No. So I'm a parent. When you are a parent, that's your hobby. Yeah.
You're an author. You've got a clothing line. What else have you... You've got a lot of stuff.
There's a bit going on. But so that's why you value that downtime. So when you get 5 minutes, like when Daisy goes to sleep, usually about 7, I've got half an hour before I go to bed.
Yeah.
And that's when you... I've given up on telly because I can't enjoy it, watching a show knowing I should be asleep. And I occasionally get addicted to apps. Now, you recall this, Fev. I was right into Candy Crush.
Oh, Candy Crush.
for a few years, I was addicted to Candy Crush, and then I got off it.
Yeah.
And then I just didn't play for about 2 years. When it was amazing. And then we had a caller called our show and said, oh, Fee, you might want to know this about Candy Crush. And she got me back on.
Yeah, she's like 6,000 or something.
Yes. So anyway, Trixie has been saying to me for probably a year, Mum, you've got to play this game, Evermerge. And I don't know if anyone's heard of Evermerge, 131060. Feel free to get involved.
What is it?
So it's a game. It's a bit like one of these games like Candy Crush. You merge things, but you're in this fantasy land. There's Rapunzel, there's Puss in Boots.
Oh, wow.
And you you merge trees. Well, no, it's not. I don't think it is a kid. Well, actually, maybe it is a kid's game.
I think it's a kid's game, mate.
You said Rapunzel,
and Puss in Boots.
It's a kid's game.
It's a kid's game, mate.
They're kid shows. That's a kid's
game. She's so cute because she wants me to do her stuff with her, and I kept going, oh, sweetheart, I don't think I'm going to like that. Anyway, on the weekend, I think this was like Friday night, and I thought, okay, I'll do it with you. So she said, Mum, we can make
Big
an
Friday.
Evermerge club. And I'm like, okay, I'll join your Evermerge club. So we were sitting there on the couch playing together. I was on mine. She was on hers. Then what she hadn't anticipated, though, so she falls asleep about 8:30.
Oh, no.
I couldn't stop.
You're not really competitive, are you?
Did you
buy any coins or anything?
No, do you know what
I have? Purchase?
I've made a commitment. I'm not spending real money in this world.
Because I told your daughter yesterday or the day before to use your credit card to purchase.
I know. You shouldn't do that. Please never do that. So in the next day, we thought we'd do Evermerge Club, and she's gone, Mum, you're up to level 13. Because they're worlds and you have to go into different worlds and level up. And then the poor little thing, she starts going, Mum, can you please stop playing? Please stop playing. You're already three levels above me. And I'm not kidding. Last night even, she was so cute. She was writing a little book for her Big Black Bear before dinner, Mr. Black Bear. And
my favourite bear.
I was sitting there and she can tell when I'm playing Evermerge because I turn the phone on its side. And having my 8-year-old look over and just go, Mum, please stop playing. But I can't stop.
Well, I've just downloaded it.
Oh, jeez.
No, you're going to join in.
So I'm going to join in.
Boys,
I'm going to beat her too.
You went home a bit earlier than Fee yesterday. We had to kick her out of work yesterday and we secretly recorded because she was sitting on the couch outside the studio and she wouldn't stop playing.
Trixie, what level are you guys on?
20.
You're totally on mine.
Seriously, go for it.
Right now. Where do you get out your iPad?
Oh, you didn't bring your iPad. It was charging.
It's okay. I'll try to stop being so good at it.
I know, look, I did. I got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay, competitive. it's okay. She's not competitive.
Oh, poor sweetheart. Wow. But I'm addicted. And Nakia's just called in from Croydon. Hi, Nakia.
Hi, how's it going?
Great. Nakia, are you familiar with Evermerge?
Yeah, I've been playing for a couple of months. Very addictive.
It is, isn't it, Nakia? And actually, Fev and Nick just pointed out, is this a kid's game?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Have a look at the graphics. It's not Grand Theft Auto.
It's not Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I didn't realise I'm getting so competitive.
What level are you on, Nakia?
I'm up to level 30.
Nakia, that's amazing.
It's taken a couple of months.
You've just ruined Fee's day.
Don't worry. Tomorrow, Friday, she's going to be half asleep. And we go, why are you so tired? Because I'm up to level 31. Had to beat Nakia.
101.9 The Fox.
It's not a Tuesday. It's a Thursday. But we are joined by our very good friend, Dave Hughes, Hughesy. The man himself from home. Hughesy.
Yeah, I am from home, but you know what? I'm also basking in the glow of having donated $10,000 to your wonderful initiative to help out the underprivileged children of Melbourne, guys. I'm absolutely...
Is this why you've called you know in? We've told everyone already.
No, but you know what I want to do? I want to pass on the joy to others. Yeah. And you know what? I've had an epiphany. I have. Because you guys are wonderful, and Fev called me the other day. You guys don't know this.
Yeah.
And he called me, he said, mate, are you cool, you know, about donating that money? I said, of course I'm cool, Fev. But you know what then he said, Fief? You know what he said?
What did he say?
He said, if you weren't cool, I would have donated the money, you know? And I thought, you know what I thought about that, Fief?
I was happy to do it. Because your co-host, Ed Cavalli, told me and the whole of St. Harley that you were filthy about donating the money.
Filthy.
And then I rang you and you hung up on me, so I was a little bit worried.
Right. That my phone was on Do Not Disturb, and I've got
it three times.
Yeah, it's on Do Not Disturb, mate. When you put your phone on Do Not Disturb, it just hangs up on people,
yeah.
And it looks like you're angry at them, and you're not.
I think you were, but that's okay. Well, co-host Ed Cavalier told the whole of St. Ali that you were filthy.
I wasn't.
No. But that's okay. And then I said, I'll donate it, man. Like if you're filthy, you can take all the credit, and I'll just pay for it.
No, I'm not filthy, and I never was filthy, and I am so happy. I wasn't, mate. You don't understand. My wife wants us to give all our money away.
Well, then do it.
No. But guys,
thanks, mate.
No, I've got to get to the point here. Thinking that Fev was prepared to donate a large chunk of money, you know what I mean? So
yes.
It makes me feel like maybe, you know, Fev could find the joy in donating a bit of money. That just makes me feel that way.
I would love to. I've got four kids, mate. Yeah, how many you got? Three. Three. I win. Thanks, mate.
All right, guys. Just a thought starter for the day. Right? Just a thought starter for the day.
Husey, we just think what you did.
Mate,
I don't want this to get lost. Dave Hughes is one of the most generous men.
How'd that go, Husey?
We can't stop sharing how generous you've been.
Mate, I said Australian of the Year on Twitter boxing.
You are a hero.
I just feel it. I just feel the joy that I feel can be felt by others. That's all I'm saying. Right?
Joy for everyone.
You know, joy for everyone.
Nah, we've all donated, mate. We've already donated. We just don't tell people about it.
Oh, that is poor. That is poor. That do not double down on this.
You want to double down on your donation?
Oh, well, mate,
that's huge.
I know it's huge. I'm just saying I feel so good. I'd love you to feel great too. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, have you seen a picture of me?
You look good, man.
I feel great every day, bro.
You look good, man. You look good.
No, I'll donate. How much do you want me to donate?
It's up to you, mate.
Well, you demanded to be on the show.
I did demand to be on the show. I just had an idea for your show.
Yeah,
epiphany.
Well, I'm asking you a question. What do you want?
What do you think's a fair thing, Fev?
I've already donated, but see, you don't know how much I've donated.
I believe you donated $100.
No, I didn't. I think we donated a lot more than that. Well, my wife did because she's got all the money.
Oh, that's great.
Go on. What do you want me to donate? Just say
it. All right. Well, I mean, you know, Fev, I don't want to force you to donate. That's not what I'm about. No, I'm suggesting stuff.
He's gone quiet. He's not talking.
I'm asking. I just want you to answer. Whatever you say, I'll donate.
Oh, but all right. Well. All right, well, I don't have Fev. What can you afford?
What's the goal?
Do you know what? Why, Husey?
What's it at now?
What have we got? We've got, Leon, what have we got at the moment?
We're just over $35,000.
$35,000.
Imagine getting it to $40,000. Imagine that.
Right, I'll give it at $40,000. There you go.
There we go.
Oh, he's done it! He's done
Brendan
it!
Brendan Favola.
He's done it!
Have you got a spare room at your joint?
Husey,
he's done it!
Two of the most generous men in the industry. Oh. Thank you. What an epiphany you had, and what a result.
What did
you
say was that?
35? 36? I think it might be 36. Oh, he's got some cash out of his wallet.
Did a cashy on the weekend, mate. I can donate.
You got to get a receipt, Fev. Got to get a receipt.
Yeah, I'll get a receipt, mate.
Get a receipt.
Thanks,
well done, Husey.
Thank you. What legends.
101.9 The Fox.
You know what's great too about Melbourne opening up next year? We are going to see comedy, and not only we've got Nick Cody here in the studio.
Best time
how
of year.
Wonderful is this? The amazing Ursula Carlson has a new comedy show, It's Personal, coming to Melbourne next March. Tickets are going on sale 11 a.m. this Friday. So it's tomorrow, 11 a.m. livenation.com.au. And joining us all the way from across the ditch, Ursula.
Hello, team. How's it going?
Good. How are you? How's NZ?
We're still in lockdown. We're 92 days in and just clinging on and hoping to make it to 100.
How excited are you then for touring to start again? Because I always thought stand-up comedy was like a real job. until I got locked down with my kids, and I thought, nah, it's actually just a bit of fun at night time.
I mean, is it a bit of fun at night time, or is it an absolute lifesaver at this point? It's like, I see it as I was on the Titanic, now I'm clinging to a door, and I can see the life raft coming. That stand-up coming towards me.
Now, you're over there. I'm just trying to think, because we had you here for the Masked Singer.
Masked Singer, yeah. Alex, snuck in.
Yeah. Well, and we love to keep you here, but we know you need to go home. When are you coming back anytime before then, or are you actually going to commit to New Zealand's lockdown?
No, I have to stay here because I'm touring New Zealand first. Because at this point in New Zealand, every time I post anything about my tour coming up, people in Auckland go, you should come to Auckland. I'm like, I live next door to you, Gary. Calm down. I'm touring New Zealand. I'm starting the tour in New Zealand, and then I'm taking it to Melbourne. So this is the first time in my comedy career where I'm touring the same show in all of the countries that I'm going to, because normally I sort of stagger it. I do one show for New Zealand, one show for Australia, and then another show when I go overseas, so I sort of have longevity. But thanks to COVID, I haven't really been able to do anything for 2 years, so I've got some shows in the back. Actually, my kids are so sick of me, mate. When I go, come on, guys, we're doing a little play, I'll just stand up, you guys do the little Red Riding Hood, and they're like, ugh.
Now, Ursula, you've done something in lockdown that Fev and I attempted last year in our first lockdown, and that is you've attempted to go vegetarian. And I attempted it.
Yes.
I was a vegan for a day. It didn't last.
Yeah. I did 5 months.
Fev gave it a crack. How are you going?
Well, I mean, I was just vegetarian for 6 days because we ran out of meat at home and I was too lazy to go to the supermarket. So I don't think we should be giving vegans and vegetarians false hope that they can start following me for some hot tips on what to do in the kitchen. It's just literally because I was too lazy to go out. But I find if you substitute meat with about half a kilo of cheese per meal, you really don't miss it that much.
Hey, you must be so excited to be coming to Melbourne, and I'm looking forward to it because we obviously work with Nick Cody, and he says he's really funny, but I see on the paper here, he's your warm-up guy. So you go up on the main stage, and you're doing the warm-up, Nick?
Yes.
That's not how it works. I have toured with Ursula before, though.
You have?
Yeah, we toured in Asia for Melbourne Comedy Festival. Roadshow.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, actually. I just saw, did I see you were on Roadshow? Someone was on Roadshow, and I was like, I know, I must have just looked at your photos lovingly. And I thought, I miss it. I miss it so much. I will tour anywhere. I will go anywhere. But now people go, why aren't you coming to our little town that I've never heard of? And I'm like, because it's really expensive. I don't think you understand how much it costs to go to little towns. And give a sister a break. I haven't really worked in 2 years. Let me take a deep breath. And then I go, it's the same as like, you know, where people go, you should just do it. I'm like, you have the backup of your radio job. Let a sister breathe.
Now, Ursula, the show is called It's Personal, and it's about all things personal that you can't ask. Is there something, like, I can't believe I'm saying this because I don't know. Obviously, there's not. I was going to say, can anyone cross the line? Like, has anyone ever asked something just way too personal? And have you opened the floodgates here?
Mate, I'm a lesbian with 2 children. Trust me, people have asked me questions too. Like, I've had strangers come up to me in the supermarket and ask where we got the sperm from. So,
Aisle 11. Just past the Nutri-Grain. Have a look.
Yeah.
Next to the pancake mix.
You've got to scoop it yourself today. But honestly, people ask super personal questions, but then I thought, because I don't put anything on social media. People don't really know anything about my personal life. But because I've had all this time in lockdowns, because I've done that massive stint in Melbourne where I spent 8 weeks in lockdown in Melbourne. I've done 7 weeks lockdown in Sydney. I've done quarantine. I've done, you know, like quarantine in Auckland and lockdown in Auckland. It's like, so that's a lot of time to be writing comedy. But what it doesn't give you is a sounding board. So there was no one to go, I don't think you should talk about that on stage. But I've already written it and I think it's hilarious. So
That's a main thing.
I'm gonna pop out some personal stuff because I also think with socials, you know, and especially now that TikTok has come on board with their story time, and people just flop out the most personal stuff that I've ever heard in my life, and I'm here for it. Don't get me wrong, but it kind of strips us from that face to face gossip that we used to do. When you meet up with a friend, you go, "Oh my God, did you hear about so and so?" And immediately the other person goes, "Yeah, I saw it on TikTok," and then the conversation ends. We don't have that good old fashioned hug. Sit down, get a coffee, get a drink, let's talk about this. I think we need to get back to that so we can truly appreciate each other's company and a good gossip session.
Well, we can't wait to see what you're going to reveal in It's Personal. Don't miss this. Ursula Carlson is heading to Melbourne next March. Tickets on sale 11 a.m. tomorrow, livenation.com.au. Ursula, always fun. Can't wait to see you back and get you in the studio.
Thanks, Sue. I can't wait to be there. Nick, I'll see you when you open for me.
Hilariously Melbourne. For Spotlight. Make Christmas yours this year with bargains galore at Spotlight. 101.